we're going to be talking about the career path, right, for digital asset management professionals, which some of you may be wondering what that looks like. And so we have an esteemed panel of people who have gone down that path to one degree or another. And why don't we identify them, please?
So hi, I'm Jennifer Anna, and I am the photo and digital asset manager at the World Wildlife Fund in Washington, D.C.
I'm Kim Coffey, and I am a digital strategist and run a digital strategy consulting firm and also work as a consultant.
How are you involved with that as a digital asset manager or content steward? You want to start, Kim?
Well, how am I involved at this point is more or less as a content steward. I have formerly been involved with assets as a digital asset manager, consultant for eBay and the Gab, and that was about 10 years ago or 12 years ago. So I've gone through this long trajectory of, and also had worked in information technology, asset management. My background is also in production as a photo stylist. Photo art director in the 90s. I'm just sort of giving you the long version of it because I didn't quite go dive into who I am or what I'm about. But how I'm involved with content now is as a digital strategist with my two clients that I have. One is based in Germany, and the other one is currently in Singapore. So putting together an entire package for them and using my firm as a way to offer the DAM system, if it's applicable to their products and services.
So right now at the World Wildlife Fund, my responsibilities include managing a global digital asset management system. I work with a small international team. My purview also includes managing the U.S.-produced photography from the U.S. offices, and then in addition, I kind of work to a lesser extent as the photo archivist, or excuse me, not the photo archivist, that was a long time ago, the photo editor. And so that involves commissioning photographers to go out into the field to shoot the work that we do at WWF, event photography, creating stock licenses, photo research.
Awesome.
So to leverage on that, so as a content steward, I'm also on the creative production side, so I work with the client and seeing that they could hire their video producer or photography or whatever the content they need.
So are DAM positions somewhat terminal after the systems have been launched and adopted, or is there a future?
Okay, so I mean, this is a conversation that I've been having with myself. We implemented a new digital asset management system to replace our old systems in 2016. They currently house photography and video, but we're looking to scale to accommodate other assets. And so as the DAM system, you know, as like the sort of day-to-day processes become more because they're more in place, I'm thinking, like, do they need somebody at a management or director level to really continue managing the system, or is this something that can really be facilitated by an administrator? I mean, I think in a traditional environment, you might have had, like, a systems librarian that would help with kind of, like, platform integration, but I think that's a harder sell with DAM. So that's something that's been very much on my mind about with digital asset management positions. Once you get the system in place, you get the workflows going, you get the contract situated, once you kind of get the shop set up, like, are you really needed anymore at a certain sort of like salary and sort of a position in your organization, or is it something that can be staffed by, say, coordinators or specialists?
To chime in on that, I would say yes, you are very valuable, and that it's a no, that it's not going to be terminated. I think it depends on pretty much the stages of implementation with your vendors. Some companies bring in contracting vendors for a certain amount of time, and just because they might be in and out within a year or two, or however it's been set up in the contract, doesn't necessarily mean that the digital asset manager is on their way out. I think oftentimes it really depends on the organization. I think it's also an opportunity to really highlight to your senior, you know, your direct report, just how valuable your role is as a digital manager, particularly as a librarian.
Yeah. I would agree with a caveat. So obviously, if you're a staffer and you've been hired to manage a system that will be implemented or is implemented, they see the value in you, and you have to continue showing that value. Obviously, it's not just drinking coffee and creating assets on the side, or vice versa. It's obviously you have to continually culling the assets, continually curating the metadata and the assets that are provided, so that there is, you know, that single source of truth for the organization and their purposes of why they are storing those assets, and hopefully using, reusing, and repurposing them, right? So I would say if you're a staffer, you should continue showing value. If you're a contractor, same thing, because it may be a temp to perm solution, as long as you choose to show that value, that continued value. And then you also have to educate your own company, because they don't know what you do. They don't. They have no clue. Your hiring manager might, kind of. HR knows nothing. They all just have the rack, and they're like, yeah, that person. Oh, you're just loss management? Great, super. What do you do? Go do that. Because they do a background check, and that's, you know, they look at your resume and they go, yeah, you meet those requirements. Okay, hiring manager, what do you like? And that's pretty much it. They know nothing. Okay.
Such.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then there's the flip side of, you know, there's employee and contractor as a digital asset management professional, regardless of title and level, if you will. The VP all the way to specialist or meta tagger or whatever the magic title is. And there's every title under the sun. It doesn't have to include digital asset, doesn't have to include metadata, it doesn't have to include librarian. I would reference you to the DAM salary survey that actually shows that if you have librarian in your title, you get paid less. Sigh, right? Even though you actually have a degree to know how to manage, hopefully, information, yeah, right? Not just physical media. That's critical, honestly. Full disclosure, I don't have an MLIS or otherwise, but I learned by trial and error, like many of us. So then there's the flip side of staffer and contractor, and then there's consultant, right? So some of us are consultants, and we shouldn't be there forever, right? It should be terminal. Right, unless you have an institution where you're farming out the service, and that is a trend for very large organizations who have an enormous budget, and they realize it's not their core competency, and they need a whole pile of librarians and taggers to tag their stuff, whether it's the first time or as they're implementing, or they just have huge volumes of assets and metadata to add in, and it's a thing that's going to happen over a period of time, and then, or it's seasonal. Right, some of us are in seasonal businesses, for the sake of argument, right? Like there might be that fashion season, right? Or we implement our products once a year and then we're done. But keep in mind, every institution who's going to remain relevant, let's just say, is going to continue to create or acquire more assets. And where is that going to go? Well, it's either going to go on someone's desktop and get lost, right? Or someone's going to manage it. Hopefully a digital asset management professional, right? And so that's basically the spiel I'll say about the temporary versus terminal. Any other things you want to add?
I wanted to add is the adding value to your role. And, you know, we use that term quite loosely, and what it really means is sort of creating a brand service within the tasks and responsibilities that you're doing throughout the day. So it's finding out where your attention is going, is geared towards most, the people you're interacting with most, making sure that you're engaged with, you know, you're naturally engaged with marketing and distribution and merchandising and finance and business development and just about every business business agenda within the ecosystems, so to speak. But making yourself valuable is really about creating an alliance with other people, other stakeholders and cross-functional partners, and letting them know what you're offering and seeing, you know, seeing how you could be of support to them. And also, I would say, as you document your weekly tasks, or you give an update report, a status report to your boss, so to speak, let him know about your activities and who else you're engaging with in other departments, because that just also brings a value. I think some people get siloed in, and you know, they don't necessarily step out the box, and I don't like using that word, but you know, getting out and having lunch meetings and sort of taking this sort of entrepreneurial role within your position as a dam manager, and you know, you're the most valuable person in the company, I would say, and not too many people are aware of that. So let them know, and let your boss know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both what Henrik and Kim are saying. And I think as a digital asset management professional, you have to do a great deal of advocacy for your project and for the services that you can offer to an organization. But, you know, like what we've heard in the last 2 days is that you can be a very proactive professional and you can have a system that is great and suits a lot of the needs that you need. But if you don't have an organization or company that's amenable to sharing transparency and workflow changes, it's going to be a huge uphill battle. I mean, not only do you need your sort of regular users to be adaptable to this new system, you need your upper management to support this sometimes global technology that they've invested in, and make sure that it's being communicated and advocated for on a number of different management levels. And I think, you know, I think sometimes you just need to get a job, and I get that. But I think, when we're thinking about moving into different roles as digital asset managers, I think we need to ask a lot of questions of our employers. What's the stakeholder support? Where am I going to sit? Like, what are the resources that I'm going to get to help me make this system successful? And if you're not hearing the right things, it's a red flag.
That's a great point. I'll just chime on the who you're sitting with. You should be sitting with your biggest user groups. If you're not, if you're sitting with IT, which is not going to use your DAM, they're just going to make sure it's working and the lights are flashing and the power's on and the bandwidth's on, and then they're not going to care. It's like it's operating as designed. Beyond that, they don't care. They're not supposed to. They're not the users. IT is not the user of a DAM. They're going to implement your DAM because your marketing department is not going to do that, right? Let's be honest, it's a technology tool, and then it's a system that everyone uses, right? Comes with people first, meaning your users, your user group, whether it's marketing, whether it's advertising, whether it's product development, whatever that group is within your organization, that is the primary users. The biggest user group, you should be sitting as close as possible to those user groups, right? So that they can ping you on a regular basis saying, not in the, hey, can you find me some assets like real quick? Because right. Yeah, all day long, because it should be self-service ultimately, right? In a perfect world, ultimately, long term. But you need to know who your users, and you should be sitting close to them so that they are aware, you know, that you're there for them, not the other way around, right?
And yes, I agree with that. Your end user being your campaign manager, the marketing director, creative director, if you're, depending on where your role is within the organization. If you're more in line with creative production and need to be in touch and, you know, more active with the creative director or art director or photographer or producers, those are your end users, from my perspective. And then same with brand managers, and depending on, you know, the higher up the food chain, so to speak, VPs. If you know, I think that's very important to, with executives as well.
Agreed. Being able to have a front, like a row seat to the production pipeline, is huge. And that's an opportunity that I've had at the World Wildlife Fund. I will say one of the challenges, because our system serves the entire globe, and I've actually had this sort of occur in other positions for global companies, where, say, the systems, the DAM is sort of run by, like, say, the big national offices I don't think we've always been as sensitive to like the sort of smaller bandwidth offices and their user needs. So it's hard to make, you know, and again, we've heard this talked about in the last 2 days, it's hard to kind of make one size fit all. But I think in terms of thinking about your users, I think you also have to think about their smaller bandwidth offices as well.
Are there alignments of systems and teams to better connect those dots so that DAM-centric discussions or conversations are not happening, but around sharing and potentially metadata, but brief discussions of metadata because most of people don't understand what that is, and information and assets that they actually care about, whether it's with pre-production, post-production, creative ops, etc.?
I mean, at the World Wildlife Fund, as I just said, like I think for the first time professionally for me, like I've had an opportunity to work really closely with the content production teams. So I'm in creative services. I work in marketing and communications, and I work closely with all of the major content producers in the U.S. offices. I also have the opportunity to work with a lot of the content producers across the network. And, you know, and I think it's a little bit unique, like when I used to work with corporate, where I think there's more, I think there's sort of clearer boundaries in corporate, whereas in nonprofit, you know, it's, even though WWF is a huge global nonprofit, we're still nonprofit nonetheless. So it's kind of all hands on deck, right? So like there's sort of more opportunities to join other teams to, you know, work with content production and strategy, but I think it also enables opportunities for transparency. I think at WWF we're kind of unique because we almost don't have the opportunity to work in silos. I would say, though, we're not doing a great job, though, with platform integration. Like, I'd really like to see, we have a lot of technological resources, and I don't think we are doing a great job about having those systems speak and really being discriminating about what we need. I'd like to see sort of more integration and sort of discrimination when we're thinking about what systems we really should have in terms of our knowledge sharing.
Just to add to that, yeah, I think the larger organizations, multinational brands and, you know, the larger ones, do have, there's a little dysfunction going on between communication, and oftentimes you think that your DAM system is going to act as your project management system as well, and oftentimes it's not. And that's where it's, that's where you can do a sort of a stakeholder buy-in with your executives to say, listen, or IT, that we need to bring in a separate system that can help support the platform and communication that you're not all.
Yeah, that's a good point because obviously DAM might be the ecosystem or the heart of where all those assets might live, but you need to know where you stand in the workflow, right? Whether it's at the end, after they've used it, or before, because it's going to feed some other system if it's tied together, or if it's going to drag to the desktop and or FTP or wherever, or Dropbox or whatever your magic workflow is, and then drag it into some other system, unless you have an API that connects and integrates, right?
I just wanted to say one that I've experienced with was tongue-tied here, was Workfront. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm pretty vendor neutral. I don't necessarily promote other vendors or system software unless I have a relationship with them or believe in them, but I'm just sharing that because I found that to be a useful tool with an organization like PricewaterhouseCoopers, where you have millions of content and people to communicate with. Millions being an exaggeration, but
How do you avoid becoming a jack of all trades and a master of none in this field, since most digital asset managers are basically alone in most organizations, with a few exceptions that have the budget and the understanding that they need more than one?
To sum it up, I'd say become a master of all and a jack of one trade. Sort of flip the script, flip it around a little bit. It's easy to see that you have a lot of responsibility, but you are the master of your domain, right?
I mean, this is a tricky question for me because I haven't actually succeeded at, I am the jack of all trades, master of none at WWF. I mean, I think what I would say is that, I mean, Margie talked about this, like, digital asset management encompasses a number of different things. We all know that in this room, like what those things are. I think on top of that, like we're also people who are trying to gauge a culture of an organization and how the workflows are facilitated to produce content, right? So like there's sort of this other level of what we're doing. I would say like, I've been thinking about it, and I think like, part of it has to be educating outside of the sphere. I mean, I think in these conferences, these digital asset management conferences, like we gain so much, like we know that we're sort of have like-minded colleagues, we're you know, it's inspiring, there's like a lot of creativity involved, but I do think the discussion needs to go outside of this community into people who are like digital strategists or art directors. I mean, there's so many different commercial creative conferences out there, and I think it's important for us to kind of start, you know, singing our songs to those people.
I would say, being the jack of all trades and, you know, master of none, seeing your role as being very critical. I can speak on having had a number of roles from starting out as a photo stylist, photo art director to, this was in the 90s in catalog, to evolving into information technology, asset management. And I found that over the last 12 years that you end up taking on projects where it allows you to share and learn those skills. And it's really in how you are sort of holding your position in your interest in terms of mastering that and being that go-to person that most organizations find you as being able to give the information that they need and leaving it at that, apparently. But you're not necessarily, you know, feeling like you're a jack of all trades. You just kind of accept that role that, you know, we're in a time now in our professional lives with digital requiring people to do a lot more than they ever have. And to carry on various, you know, wear different hats. So I feel like it's okay to be.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's a catch-22 because, like, we're a jack of all trades in a lot of respects because we're trying to wrangle chaos. So, like, we kind of have to come in and, like, immediately do triage, right? So, so I think there's, like, that aspect of it. But I think, and actually, like, one of the panelists said something what I thought was really interesting about organizations is that you can't scale or build engagement without the infrastructure in place. So I've worked at so many different creative environments where there's a digital team, there's a web team, there's a media team, there's a video production team, you have your creative team all fully staffed, and then you have two people to do the digital asset management system. And that has to scale too. So I think, again, education is an important part of this.
Great. So one tip I would give, since I've used this myself at work, I had the same challenge of doing those things, and is basically track your time, but not just the time you spend, but what you do during that time. Literally every minute of when you're working as a digital asset manager in or out of the office, as many days as you might work or evenings, is literally track what you're actually doing. Are you doing tagging? Are you curating? Are you uploading? Are you downloading? Are you doing customer service? Are you doing whatever? And if you track your time, you can figure out what are you spending the most amount of time doing, right? Because you're tracking it. And then you can figure out, well, what do I suck at? What do I need to get better at? And then also, oh, I'm spending 80 hours a week doing this. Well, 80 hours equals 2 full-time employees. And then I can track my time and prove to my management that I might need someone to help me. And that's exactly what I did when I was working 80 to 100 hours a week managing a dam. And, well, I was able to prove to my management, I need some help. See, look, I have some records beyond just timesheets, which don't mean anything, right? But actually records, record keeping, of I spent, you know, 50% of my time doing this, 10% of my time doing this, 20% of my time doing this. So we need a specialist, not a clone of myself, but somebody that will fill that gap where I'm not really good at blah tasks, but can we find somebody to help me with this? Even if it's temp to perm or an intern for the sake of argument at start, so they can prove that, oh, well, if we have someone in, then they can relieve that and not have burnout. So I would invite you to take a look at my blog post on another damn blog about burnout, and you'll find out more about this. So next question. How do you escape the silo of being the lone damn professional who is often not as well understood of why they're there and what continuing value they provide to the organization?
So at the World Wildlife Fund, we have this saying, and the saying is culture first, technology second. And I said that repeatedly when I walked through their doors because, you know, again, speaking to the choir, you can have a fantastic database, but if you don't have the culture that's amenable to those changes, it's just not going to happen for that organization. And so I was pretty upfront about that when I got to WWF. And our stakeholders really loved that because WWF is a place that really, really takes pride in its organizational culture. And I think, you know, even before we replaced our digital asset management systems, which were quite old, like I kind of opened up shop immediately. So even though I didn't have a good repository to work with, I communicated through all of our internal communication channels that I was there, this is what my role was, I can help answer your questions about contract, copyright, and licensing. You know, I was very present at all of the marketing and communications meetings, so I really kind of hustled my wares to the network and the WWF office, and it worked really well. And because I think that people started to acknowledge me as that person. And so as we sort of started to have to move to centralizing our assets, they were like, oh, that's what Jen does, you know? So it was great. I think as once we got the system in place, we are very, we frequently publish the download and upload numbers for the system across the network, within our stakeholders, our internal communications channels. We've recently have implemented Facebook work groups, which is like internal Facebook, which has been like a huge game changer for WWF in terms of internal communications. So we've really tried to be public about the work we're doing, about incoming acquisitions, and you know, on top of that, we do a ton of training and whatnot. Oh, and you know, I just one more thing, I guess, and I think another thing is again a little bit different about WWF, and this kind of goes back to this like national office, big offices versus smaller offices, because the Washington D.C. office is a huge national hub, and we do have a number of resources. We kind of saw this project as a means to be giving back to our network that actually helped tell the stories of conservation work. So it's a little bit different kind of ROI for our, the corporate, but we felt it was really important that we needed to start giving back.
What resources would you like to share with the audience about career paths for Dan?
Well, I like another damn blog.
Thanks.
No, that's one. And there's also I think it's CMR Wire.
Which one? What is it?
CMR Wire.
CMR Wire.
Yeah, I might not have that correct. You know, I have to be honest. I have signed up for so many resources and newsletters and eventually just don't get a hold, you know, get a chance to read them. And mm-hmm. every once in a while, I will mm-hmm. pull them up.
Yep.
But, you know, Google's always good.
Sure. Yeah.
And you might have better resources because I've shifted out of the DAM to the DAM world, so to speak, to being more on the campaign digital strategy and working with DAM. So it's a little different, but there's
sure. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, I don't have a good answer, because my feeling is that there needs to be actually a lot more resources for actual digital asset management practitioners. There's a lot of really great publications about innovations, the future, the top 10 trends in 2017, and all of that's really important. But what I was having a really difficult time finding out when I was starting to prepare for this is, like, really how many different digital asset management jobs are available to us? And, like, what are the different, and I think actually the Damn Guru salary survey, when it's published, will sort of speak to, like, you know, where we are as a profession. But I would actually like to see more available for practitioners to learn about themselves. I think the best that we can do now is just try to, you know, communicate with each other.
Academic journals are also good resources just to stay abreast of future trends. Forrester is a good management consulting firm. I tend to default to those, as well as other blogs that, you know, if I need to access a blog, it's been Another Damn Blog or the Henry Stewart. That's been another one. Just that's the ones I've used. Lately, I would say the acronym is CMR Wire. Is anyone familiar with that?
Pretty much CMS Wire.
CMS Wire.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's okay. No worries.
It's okay. I've been up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning every night working. That's
Singapore
a great one.
Time. Is it Singapore time?
Singapore time, yes. Singapore and Shanghai.
And to your point, so I regularly follow the job market, even though I'm not searching for a job, since I'm a consultant. So I just go from assignment to assignment. Because I'm never there forever, unlike some consulting firms, which I'll refrain from naming. There's a right now 652 unfilled digital asset management positions in the United States. That varies, actually. I watch the fluctuation and who's posting and what. It varies between probably about 500 to 800, typically.
What's your source on that?
Indeed.
Okay, let me just say
something. That's the thing, though. You have to start filtering through those results. It's not as 652-ish once you start kind of going through.
Yeah, and they're not just digital asset manager, period. You know, of course, you can search for that. In quotes, right? Don't type in down, because then you'll be doing hydroelectricity, right? unless you want to do metadata taxonomy, you know, filter to that, to what you're actually looking for, to especially if you have training or desire to do X, right? Especially if you're experienced doing it. So filter to it and use aggregates like in LinkedIn Jobs or Indeed or some other, or some associations have some jobs that are posting in specific firms, please.
Oh, yeah, in terms of jobs, that's a very interesting one, because recruiters will often come at you very aggressively and pitch and present. Next thing you know, you're actually working for the recruiters and updating resumes and, you know, sorting, sort of resetting your resume based on their criteria. And it sometimes can take you off of your core in a way. So you might be, hey, I'm focused on digital asset management or content strategy, but you're trying to fill a position that they're trying to fill, or you're trying to sell yourself as something related to the content strategist and all these other titles that have come out of the woodwork because some organizations decided we need this person, even though the person that role is very much indicative of a digital asset manager. I lost my train of thought, but I was going to say, in terms of the resources for job searching, I would avoid LinkedIn. I think it's great to get, you know, see what's out there, but if you're going to try to apply for jobs that way, it's just an aggregated system. I think that's just sharing, you know, advertising positions. Recruiters are going to come find you.
True. Yeah. Especially since there's a bigger need than there is supply. So library schools, and information schools, I schools, L schools, whatever you want to call them, don't pump out enough. And honestly, for the most part, with a very few exceptions, like we just heard in our last panel from Margie, most schools do not teach digital asset management. They don't even mention the words. It's like, oh, there are systems out there, and then they're not taught that corporations need librarians too, right? So some of us are librarians and some of us are actually working in corporations. Like, oh, you mean I don't have to just get a government job at a public library? Wow, shocker. Because there aren't any left? Oh, sorry. Questions from the audience. Yes, I'll take the person in blue there.
I was wondering about education or continuing education. So a lot of people probably have a library degree, but is there additional training, postgraduate school that is recommended or that you're seeing in jobs or, you know, is it workshops or, you know, are there additional degrees?
Yeah.
Pratt has a program, a librarian program. Digital assets, I believe, or information, knowledge. I think that those are some of the areas that you could look up in terms of online courses as well. Just sort of type in, it's knowledge management is one. I think Columbia University has a program. I was looking into that myself, but a master's degree, but I decided not to right now. But I think there are resources, or there are universities that do offer a library.
But even beyond that, once you've received your degree, or once you're already in the field, you know, are there things that you can do besides on-the-job training? Because a lot of it seems like a lot of people are in the job and they're learning as they go. But is there a way, if you're in a job, just to, like, stay competitive or stay, like, sharp? You know, because it's easy when you're in a job just to, like, get good at that, you know. But if you want to, like, fill your toolbox with other things, are there resources, if you're knowing of any resources that are out there?
So there are obviously some conferences like this one.
Okay.
That's one. There's several websites. I've named a few already, so I won't repeat them because it's just type in another DAM and then fill in the blank. And you'll find it. There's several other websites that I reference in my resources page that we'll find similar to CMS Wire and a bunch of others. There has been some foundations that are now defunct that had a training program. I believe that is still defunct for now. There's to your point, there's still a need. There are also meetups. I try to record all the panel discussions from the meetups since not everyone lives in New York City, including myself. It can be spread globally so that knowledge can be spread. So I would say reach out to people on LinkedIn who are digital asset managers in similar fields, obviously not your competitors because they probably won't talk to you. See what they're willing to share with you as far as, you know, whether they're at the step that you want to be at or parallel or in parity for that matter, or far more advanced. The thing that you're probably going to find out is certain limitations. Like you can have that focus or blinders to your point of being inside your siloed organization and not seeing outside of, well, how are other people doing it in my industry or just in digital asset management in general, right? So you have to come to forums like this to find out what's going on and what's fresh and new and ways of doing business and ways of curating data and new things that you can use your system or how to use your system better. So there are support groups for certain DAM platforms that you can find on Meetup, interestingly enough. I'll refrain from using the vendors since I'm vendor neutral. There's some platforms there. So I would say Meetup, LinkedIn, and some of these forums here, please.
So if I mention a couple of the vendors and I'm no longer vendor neutral, is that the case?
Not necessarily.
you know, when I was looking for resources, I would say in 2010, there wasn't a lot. Even 2007, 2010, I relied on LinkedIn for their the DAM meetup groups or the DAM groups and came across some of the grandfathers of DAM. I call them the grandfathers of DAM, and that would be like Michael Moon and David Lipsey. So I would say do your research a little bit and just feel free to reach out to those people or make yourself known so that they can reach out to you and point you in the right direction for training courses.
Yeah, I would say, like, I haven't been an archivist for over 10 years, but when I'm having these conversations, the people that I'm still talking to are archivists and librarians, and they have a number of different associations that touch upon a lot of the things that we're talking about. It might not be an exact fit with digital asset management, but there are a lot of the same tenets with librarianship and archiving. And I think there's like there's just a lot more opportunities there, and I think there's also can be a lot more room for innovation there, which helps you think about your position creatively.
Other questions?
Oh, yes. This person?
My question was just if you were saying most schools don't teach ANDA, do you know specific schools that do it? This is in Unity.
Yeah, there are a few. So there's most some of them offer specific classes just in DAM. So I believe San Jose has one, San Jose State University.
Yes. Okay.
There is a MADAM program, so Masters in the Arts of Digital Asset Management at the King's College in London, if you want to go there. So there's a program there. So if you want to do a master's degree in DAM, you can do that. there's Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin has one, if they still offer it. But they're few and far between, and they're not offered every semester.
Texas,
yes. Yes. Thank you, Margie. This is true. Yeah. Yeah. So, but even the largest and best known library schools in the world don't, which is surprising. And they just expect you to go get a government library job, sadly. They're just preparing you for the non-existent job markets rather than preparing you for the real job market, which is going to be in the digital world. And less in the physical world every single year. So I would encourage you to ask for it. I plan actually to interview all the library schools that, and iSchools that actually offer that. So I actually did interview Margie already, which you mentioned, and a few others who have taken the MADAM program. So feel free to take a look at those on another damn podcast. Other questions? Yes. Peter?
I'm a little surprised that this discussion hasn't touched on the increase in the scope, velocity, and uses of media, and how the remit of DAM, in my view, can and should be expanding in the organization.
Well, it does. It depends on the adoption of DAM throughout the organization, right, to your point. So sometimes it's siloed to one department, and then if they're forward-thinking enough, they will spread it to different organizations. Like, I've heard that certain retailers spread it to the legal department because they want the video of somebody slipping and falling in their stores stored in their DAM. That's debatable if they should want to do that. There's marketing, of course, advertising, if that's internal to the organization, CMO, etc. CMO may own the system for the sake of arguments. I've heard of CFOs owning the system, depending on the organization, of course. Sometimes CIOs own it. So it varies completely. But as far as the file types and other media, so we did touch on knowledge management to a degree. And in your discussion, Peter, you mentioned other media that is being prevalent and growing in popularity. So there's going to be more and more of that. It's just a matter of how quickly does it come to us, because for the most part, the people in this room aren't going to be creating it, right? We're going to be managing it once it's given to us, whether it's acquired or created, right? Whether it's acquired by from another organization or created internally, which is sometimes the case. Anything to that?
I mean, Peter, we've talked about this, and my response is the reason that we haven't addressed it is because I'm terrified to sort of, you know, WWF is unique in that a lot of our staff go into the field, and there's sort of a line between conservation scientists and photographers. They often document their own work. So we do have a lot of staff photography, you know, the problems are sort of managing the, you know, the kind of breadth of what that could be. And, you know, we can definitely, so yeah, like I am thinking about that. And, you know, you know, you and again, and I have talked about it, like I'm seeing jobs listed like user generated content managers. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like a digital asset manager. But I think probably with another level of dealing with the analytics of user generated content, right? So, you know, there is opportunities there to, and we did talk about that, right? So like we're dealing with like really structured metadata, and there's opportunities there, right, to like leverage that. And like if you want to move into user generated content and managing that, there's also ways to like kind of throw that data into the pool, which gives you like an even bigger leg in your organization. So yeah, like for sure, I think there's a lot of opportunity there, but it's still terrifying.
All right, well, thank you so much. And I think we have a part of the agenda being told us. Thank you so much.